or on the web at covenantconsultants.net.
The following program's views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Shalom to all the WHK listeners, and Baruch Atah Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today, and our teacher, Sheila Crawford, is here. So get your paper, pen, and Bible, and get ready to take some notes and enjoy the next hour of learning from God's Word. First, we're going to ask our Father in Heaven, Abba Father, to be with us in prayer. And we just thank you, our God, our Father in Heaven, that for this opportunity today to learn from your word. I would ask you in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Messiah, that you would just send your Holy Spirit over all the listeners today so that their ears can be open to what you are saying from them. Because it's not about Shofar Ministries. It's about what you have to say to us, the church, the body of believers in these end times. And Lord, I just pray that you open our ears with your Holy Spirit. You died and went to heaven to give us the Holy Spirit as a gift. And you gave us that so that we could understand what you're saying to us through your word. And I just ask that you give that to us today in just a little more of a dose so we can understand what you're saying to us. And we love you for it, and we thank you for it, and we thank you for this great day. We thank you for back again this week, and we just thank you again for the opportunity. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, John. And by the way, happy birthday.
Oh, please don't sing.
And it is today, actually today, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. What do you mean, don't sing?
I don't.
How did you know I was going to sing? Didn't tell you I was going to sing. Okay, I guess I won't sing. I'll spare the...
There is one good thing about my birthday. The date, 6/13. I'll give you that.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, listen, I wanted to tell you that was really a good prayer, too, because this is a good time to mention the fact that please don't get mad at the messengers. There are things going on out in the world that I know maybe what I say today might offend some. Please do not take it that way. I am not trying to bash any particular person. I only have to present the facts because it's what really makes prophecy come alive, be fulfilled, and show us what day we're really living in. So please understand that as we get into the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I also want to point out that John is the music director at Shofar Assembly in Burton. And by the way, the next Shofar Assembly, and we don't meet every week anymore, but the next one is tonight at 6 o'clock in Burton. And if you call for directions, we'll be happy to give them to you. My husband's standing by at home. He's a sort of behind the scenes man.
There you go.
He does all my things for me. He's such a blessing. Yeah. But the number at home is 440-834-9006. So if you want to come on out, drive out to lovely Burton, we'd love to have you. And just to let you know, the topic tonight will be the yet-to-be-fulfilled appointments of God, the fall feasts, okay? And these fall feasts will soon be fulfilled. So you want to come and learn about them. And by the way, the Hebraic Roots DVD, that's Hebraic Roots 101, so very simple, basic learning. Parts 1 and 2 are now available for a $15 donation. And if you get both parts 1 and 2, you can have 2 for 25. How about that?
I think it's a good deal, especially if you're
starting. A lot of teaching, too.
A lot of teaching. And if you're just getting started in Bible eschatology, last days things, it's a have to have.
You know, I believe that the Lord really helped me put this together. And I encourage you that if you want to go deeper into God's word, this would be two good DVDs to get you started in that area.
Absolutely.
And then when you listen to me on WHKW, you will almost know what I'm saying sometimes. But we are here every week. We are here every week where I truly do enjoy sharing gold nuggets of the Judeo-Christian truth, especially on that fun word, eschatology. And you know, John, we used to be called Judeo-Christian all the time. Somewhere along the line, the Judeo got dropped.
Yeah,
you know that?
Yeah.
And now we're just Christian, and we really need to go back to the Judeo-Christian because our Bible was written by Jewish people.
Yes.
You know?
And our God is Jewish.
Yeah. Man, Jesus was Jewish.
So, yeah,
so if we learned a little bit about what he understood at that time in certain phrases and idioms and feasts that they followed, which, by the way, the whole book of John surrounds one of the feasts.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time, I didn't even know what that was.
Well, we thought they were just, they had a lot of dinners.
Yeah. Of course, I've been raised Catholic, so holy days, you know, I was kind of associating with that. And in a way, it's kind of the same. But those feasts are appointments of God, and wow. And we're working on the DVD for that, too, right now. They should be out pretty soon. In fact, tonight is going to be the fall one.
Okay.
And we're going to tape it.
We're going to tape it.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, I want to remind you, too, that you can listen to any of the past shows by going to my webpage, shofarministries.com. Click on radio, click on the date, and you're good to go.
And there they are. And also, we will be opening the lines later this hour, so we ask that you keep your questions to the topic of eschatology because we are in those last days. And not a lot of information is really being taught about this in the body of Christ today or in the churches. Some churches are. They're actually teaching this. Thank God.
Of course.
And I encourage you to seek them out.
Seek them out. Make a phone call.
If make
you're
a
just
phone
starting
call.
Off going to a
yes.
church, call them and ask them what their stand is. Do they believe in the preacher of rapture and do they teach on it? Those are two important questions.
Oh, that, yes. Is that, people don't generally think to ask questions, but you can call now. Yeah, and we need to know, the body of Christ, each individual believers, we really need to know how truly close we are to the sound of that shofar, the trumpet that's going to call us home. That you'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
What kind of a trumpet is that?
That's made from a ram's horn. It's called a shofar.
Yeah, and it's also called the last
trumpet.
That's what I was trying to get you to say.
Okay.
Because that's an idiom for a particular feast, and we're going to cover that at some point. But the last trumpet is not the seventh trumpet of Revelation. Okay, so keep that in mind. These are just little clues for you to let you know what's going to be coming up in the weeks ahead.
Yes. It's little distinctions like that. So what are we going to do today, then?
I thought you'd never ask, John. Well, I really need to expound a bit on what we talked about last week, okay? Now, if you missed that show, again, you can go to my webpage, click on the date. What was the date last week? The 7th?
Well,
no,
6th? The 6th.
The 6th, yeah. Okay. But last week, I actually gave the scriptures that talked about how Israel was given the land by God and not just to Abraham, but to a specific line of his descendants. It was Abraham, his son Isaac, and his son Jacob. Okay, and we talked about that. Now, I want you to understand that Israel is a key player here, and it has a lot to do with where we are in the end days. And right now, I have to tell you, we are in a horrendous time right now, and that's why I've got to talk about Israel just a little bit more, because basically, our president has made Israel his top priority. And the reason he's done that is because the Saudi king, and you remember he's the king that our president bowed down to when he saw him the first time. That was sad because no president has ever done that before. Okay, but anyway, I think he holds in high regard the Saudi king. And anyway, the Saudi king has told him that he needs to make Israel his top priority in getting that situated to make all the Arabs happy. And what would make the Arabs happy is for Palestinians to have their own state,
right
in the middle
of
Israel. And that's why I'm talking about how this body of land, which in the Bible was given to Abraham and the descendants through Isaac, and in the 15th chapter, it's described as being from the Nile River in Egypt all the way to the Euphrates, which is in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's really not all that much either, okay? But today, they only have, what,
1%
of it or something?
Yeah, it might be maybe 50% or less.
Oh, yes, much
less. It's less, maybe 40 or 30.
14, I thought I heard. I can find that out. But anyway, it's a small amount.
It's a small amount.
Okay. Now, at the other side of the scope here, he did give the descendants of Ishmael and Esau, whichever you want to say there, a lot of land also. And he said they would have many princes. And they do. And they have a lot of land. The problem is they want it all. And that's what brings in, well, the anti-Semitics, you know, that's, they want all of it. They really don't. Now, these are the radicals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have to say that.
Yes.
They really don't want Israel to exist at all. But that goes back all the way to the beginning of time. It really does. Satan, who is our enemy, and there's only good and there's only evil. You either have good or it's the other way. But Satan, since the beginning of time, has tried to thwart the plan of God. And how he does that is to divert and get the line from Isaac and definitely try to divert people's attention of what's going on there. So he would have many Jewish babies killed. He would tell them, like Herod, remember when he tried to kill all the babies?
Mm-hmm.
He has been trying to get rid of the Jews since Noah's time, probably. And before that, even, actually, since Adam and Eve.
That's the real battle, isn't it?
It really is, because even when God destroyed Noah, not Noah, but Noah and his family were the only ones that were not destroyed in the flood. And I believe the reason for that is because everybody else was actually had a imperfection there as far as the line goes. And that's another subject that we'll get into at some point in time. But that's been his goal. Satan's goal is to thwart the plan of God. And how can he do that? Get rid of the Jews.
Because the Jews figure are the key to God's plan. And they're the key to God's plan for us, too.
Right. And I just want to point out again, the only reason that I'm talking about what Obama is doing, it's not because I hate him or anything like that. If he's the man that needs to be here to take us to where we need to be, which is that world peace, signing that agreement that Daniel talks about, okay, with the Antichrist, then I'm all for it. I mean, if we're in the end times and Jesus is coming back, then if this has to be this way, I'm okay. So I don't hate him. I know that he's doing what prophecy says needs to be done. So please don't call me and say, how dare you say this and that, okay? I'm just trying to give you the facts so that you can see how close we are to that time where Jesus is going to return. And one of the things, I don't know if you got to watch his address in Cairo. I did, and I noticed soon after he came out, he said something in Arabic, which I don't know, and I didn't know what it meant. I was able to look it up, though, and what he said was, Assalamu alaikum. Now, what's interesting is that the name Assalam is another name for Allah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not good. But if he would have said, now here's what he should have said, Salam alaikum, which would have meant peace be upon you. That would have been okay. However, he said, Assalamu alaikum, which means may the blessing of his name descend upon you.
Upon whose name?
Allah.
Allah. Okay.
That's what he's referring to. So do you understand the significance of this? We have our President of the United States glorifying Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. People out there, do you understand what I'm saying here? Okay, now some Christians are going to say, well, Allah is just another name for God. And I have to really tell you that's not true. I've done my homework, okay? Allah is a name of a false god stemming all the way back to the god of Baal, or I should say Baal the god, small g.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one source to any false god, and that is
That's Satan.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You know,
because
again, it's either good or it's evil.
Right.
Okay, there's no in between. There's really no gray. You're either serving God or you're serving the enemy. Do you know how many times I've asked people, I go say, well, who do you serve? And if they're just kind of a menial, average type person, they really don't say, well, I'm serving God, because they know they're really not. But they never say they're serving Satan. And so I say, well, you can only serve one, and it has to be one.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you can't say you're serving God with all your heart and soul through Jesus Christ, then you're serving Satan.
That's right.
I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is.
The Bible calls him the God of this world, and by default, you would be serving him if you weren't serving God.
Amen.
Because he's really controlling, and Satan is a force to be reckoned with.
That's it. And you got to make a choice.
You know what his best trick is, though?
Hmm.
Keeping believers from thinking he really does exist or is really powerful.
Sure.
Right.
I've heard that, too. Oh, there's no Satan.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, you know what? I would rather understand that there is a Satan, because all the evil out there that people do, I just can't believe that they would do that just on their natural instincts. I think they're prodded and pushed by evil forces that speak in their heads and get into their minds. People are doing a lot of drugs, even regular prescription and over-the-counter even can cloud your mind and give the enemy a foothold.
Yes.
We have to stay clear-headed, but the most important way to keep Satan from out of your head is to by reading God's Word, because he is the armor. He's the one who will put on that helmet for you to guard you from the enemy's tactics. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I want to point out now, since we gave all the scriptures last time about the rights for Israel to that land. Okay.
And there were a lot of them, too.
Yeah. We gave a lot of them. So please get the, go to the website and listen to it if you haven't. But let's go way back now to after they left Egypt. Okay. Now, as you know, they went into Egypt mainly because there was a famine. Okay. And they went for food. And for a while, the Pharaoh was really nice to them, okay? But after about close to 400 years then, we see this new Pharaoh came in and was making them slaves and treating them awful. And so God heard their cry and sent a deliverer, and his name was?
Moses.
Yes. And back in Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses recalls God's instructions to the children of Israel. After they left Egypt, God says, now go and get back your land. That's what he told them.
Right.
In fact, I'm going to read it to you. He says, turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of who lives there now, by the way, which was the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains, and in the lowland, in the south, and on the seacoast, to the land of, also living there now, were the Canaanites, all these ites, by the way.
Yes.
And to Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, that was their border. And he says, see, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land, which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's that line. It's not Ishmael.
That's right.
Okay?
And it's not Esau.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And Esau was the brother of Jacob, remember? And Esau sold his inheritance. He didn't care about the land, and he sold it away. So we have the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Esau, all enemies of Israel and the Jewish people.
And all given their own land, too, by the way, by God.
Yeah, God took care of them.
Yes, he did.
You know, but they're greedy and they want more.
Mm-hmm.
And the Palestinians today, although a lot of them, because I talked about this before, a lot of them are fine, good people. I enjoyed talking with them. We talked a lot about the Lord. It's easy to talk religion with them. It was fine when I was over in Israel. But then there's those others, the radicals that are really being pushed by the enemy to get rid of the Jews altogether and take all the land.
Mm-hmm.
And they've proven time and time again to be unsuccessful. So you would think they would finally learn that maybe God was in this.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But see, they worship that Allah.
Yes.
See, and Allah tells them, go and kill everybody if they're not a Muslim. And we don't talk about that too much. You don't see our leaders in office saying that either. But it's in the Quran, okay? The Hadith talks about it, which is their extra writings. And, oh, well, we can go on and on. But let me give a little bit of history here quick before we have to break. They finally got back into the land, and Joshua, as you know, they got rid of all the ites that were there because they were there because Israel had to go into Egypt for the famine. So they had to get rid of those, okay, mm-hmm. and they did. And then after a while, they were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. For how long, John?
70 years.
70 years. And he took him into Babylon. He destroyed the temple, okay? And they were there until the next empire came, which was?
The Roman Empire.
No.
Oh.
Follow the script, John.
I thought I learned it better than that.
That was just a slip of your tongue, I know.
Oh, no.
No, actually, it was the Medes and Persians that came in after Babylon.
Oh, yes.
And that was Cyrus, okay?
Yes.
All right, and Cyrus, he must have been a nice guy, you know? Because he let them all go back to rebuild their temple. In fact,
yes.
He was so nice that some Jews decided to stay there. I guess they were older and they said, I'm going back to that land, had to rebuild that temple and do all that hard work.
Well, it was work.
Of course. Definitely
it was
work. But you know what else is interesting? Is that Cyrus saw his name written in Isaiah. I think it was 43 or 45. I don't have it written down. Talking about how this man, Cyrus, would be kind to the Jews and let them go back home and build their temple again.
Now, do you suppose Daniel pointed that out to him?
I would say so, or Jeremiah.
Or Jeremiah.
One of those.
Some contemporary of Daniel there.
Yeah, but how amazing was that? Hundreds of years ago, this prophecy was written that a man would come along who would be the king of the Medes and Persians, and his name would be Cyrus. Okay, and they would let his people go back to build. And it was all predicted long, long time ago, long before it happened. So that, to me, right there, is showing me that it had to be written by God. Only God could have known that. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Yes. You know, and I've seen other religious books, and they don't have any prophecy.
That's just one example there. That's just one example, but that is heavy.
Oh, that's only one example.
Yes.
There's hundreds of things like
hundreds
this. Hundreds. Okay, so he let him go back. And they did rebuild their temple under Zerubbabel, and it was later then enlarged and made more splendid by King Herod. Now, that's pretty amazing, but he wanted everybody to like him, even the Jews, so he really did an elaborate job there. And it was this temple that stood when Jesus was born. So after Jesus became that ultimate sacrifice, there was no need for a temple anymore. The temple was basically to sacrifice the animals to God to cover their sins. But now, because by the way, it's only blood that can cover the sins.
Mm-hmm.
But now Jesus' blood was on the cross. That blood covers all sins, the whole world if they want it.
Yes.
But you have to decide that you do.
That's right.
And all you do is say, I'm going to make Jesus Lord of my life because I want that blood covering for my sins, so that I can spend eternity with him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So God allowed the Romans to totally destroy it in 70 AD so that the Jews that didn't believe couldn't use it anymore. You know, there's no purpose in it anymore.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So by 135 AD, the Jews had fled from the Romans, mainly because their brutality just got out of whack. They got so bad that it just pushed Israel, and they went on a almost 2,000-year diaspora.
Yes, this okay. is the, and the that was the, almost like the final, the largest. The
That's
largest,
right. But this diaspora was all prophesied again. In his word, back in Zechariah 13:7, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And even Jesus in Matthew 26:31 said that they would be scattered.
Yes. Feet.
So, But, and here's a great word. God also said he will bring them back into their land in the end days. How do we know we're in the end days? The Jews have been coming home now for the last, especially since 1948.
Hello, 1948. That was a fulfillment of prophecy.
Absolutely.
Prophecy.
Absolutely. And they're still going home, by the way, even though there's turmoil there. Somehow, God's putting it in their heart. because he says they're going to return, and they've been returning. There are approximately 6 million Jews there now from all tribes living in the land of Israel. And again, they are still coming. And Jeremiah 16:14-16 says, therefore, behold, the days are coming that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he has scattered them. For I will bring them back into their land, which I gave to their fathers.
And that's, if you knew how many Jews are making their trek down to
Aliyah. Yeah.
From the region of the Soviet Union, directly north, from the north.
That's right. That's just one of the scriptures, Jeremiah 16. If you've got a paper and pencil, look up these scriptures, Isaiah 43:5, Isaiah 49:22, and Jeremiah 23:7. All talks about how God said he would bring back the Jews. And what a miracle that is. I mean, this is, I don't think people understand what a miracle that is.
When the state of Israel was started in 1948, the church, the leaders and teachers in the church here in America were totally surprised because they may have read it that was going to happen in the Bible, but they sure didn't think it could ever, it was for real.
That's right. Wow, we've got so much to say, don't we? Yeah, well, we're getting on to a break, so we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue with this topic, because I have a lot more to say, and I also want to say some of the things that Israel really has done to help America. Where would we be without them, really? And I don't think we really realize all that.
I hope we get to that.
Yeah, we will. Okay, we're going to take a break.
And also, we're going to hear a song from Melanie.
Yes. Before
we come back and listen to the words, they're very good.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Well, welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. And I know you want to know who sang that song, and it's our dear lady, Melanie Pierce, who sang last week, Psalm 23. And this song is called Have Confidence, who, by the way, also plays the keyboards and the flute. If you would like her to perform for your group or wedding or any church function, just give me a call, and I'll make sure that she gets in touch with you. Okay? All right. I do want to mention one of the sponsors of the show, because that's very important. And if you would like to have your business mentioned, please call me. That's 440-834-9006, and we certainly could use a few more sponsors, could we, John?
There's always room for more sponsors.
And I'd like to thank one right now, though. Her name is Nicole Maruth, and most of you have heard me speak of her every week, but she is the Arbonne Health and Beauty Products. And I use these every day. I love it. And Nicole is a local representative of the Arbonne line, and she really would love to help you find the right products especially suited for your type of skin or body needs. And that includes nutrition and weight control. So be sure to give Nicole a call. And this is her number. Write it down, 440-840-2176. And you might want to ask her how to earn some free products or start your own at-home business. Again, her number is 440-840-2176. Now, Christian ladies, I know we all wear makeup, and Arbonne is non-toxic. This is very important. Maybe you're committed to supporting another ministry and just can't help to support this show right now, but just call Nicole and you can maybe purchase some makeup and that would help keep this show on the air as well, okay? So again, her name is Nicole Maruth. Her number is 440-840-2176.
Okay, and I would also like to add that the phone lines are now open for your call regarding Bible eschatology, things last days. And the numbers are 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. One more thing, too. Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all gifts are tax deductible, and donations are needed to stay on the air. Perhaps you'd like to sponsor the show, and you can advertise your company on Christian radio. And to get more details on this, you can call Sheila at 440-834-9006. And all donations of $50 or more toward this airtime will receive a handmade gift from Mike. And he prayed for direction for something that he could make with his hands as a love offering to help the body of Christ after recommitting his life to Christ. And soon after he was praying about this, he saw these old windows in a pile of junk, and his eyes just fixed on those dividers that go in the middle of the window, and they looked like crosses to him. And so he got out his nippers, and he did a little work there, and he said, and before you knew it, he had a very nice looking cross that you can be hung up on the wall. He also has some larger models now that you can put in your garden too. And for a donation of $50, we would be happy to send you one of those. And let's see.
Okay. There's a picture here.
There's a picture here.
Wow. You know, we were junk one time at one time. You know? And what do you think that he's making these beautiful crosses out of these old junk windows? And isn't that what God did for us?
That is a good picture.
Isn't that?
Yes. Yes.
You know, we were once junk and now we are beautiful to God.
Yes.
Why? Because you've been made righteous through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't that
is beautiful.
I thought you'd like that.
So you can, let's see, you can mail us your donations or PayPal on the website.
Yeah.
And we'll send you the cross from Mike. We'd love, of course. The mailing address is P.O. Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And now I'd like to tell you about one of the sponsors of the show, and that's Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable. It's earned them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located right out in Geauga County, but they'll service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced. They do great work. They're affordable. Hey, and they're nice to boot. So if you need a free estimate, call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep this show on the air. So be sure to tell Chad that you heard about him right here on WHKW, The Word.
You want to get those numbers maybe one more time?
One more time. Here's the phone numbers. If you're calling from the Cleveland area, it's 216-901-0933. 901-0933. Outside that area, it's 888-677-WORD. 888-677-WORD.
Okay, and we're back to studying our Bible again.
Back after that nice song break, too.
That's right. It's a beautiful song by Melanie. Now, let's see. We've talked about the fact that there was a certain parcel of land given to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? All right. Now, the problem with what's happening today, and has been happening for a while, it started with Clinton, basically, that I remember. I'm sure it happened to me before that, too. Actually, if you really want to go back in history, it probably happened when the British, who had conquered the Ottoman Empire, actually owned that area and actually gave them back for a homeland after the Holocaust. Okay, but even then, they took some of it away and made it Jordan.
Yes.
And that was really for the Palestinians. So they really were given a homeland. The Palestinians were, and it was in Jordan. It was on the right side. If you're looking at a map of the Jordan River, on the right side is where Jordan is. That was a homeland for the Palestinians at one time, and originally that was all given to Israel.
And
they took it away.
The Palestinians were also given a choice, or they could choose to go into Jordan, or they could choose to stay in the land, and you know what? That was okay with the Israelis, too. Whether they,
I know.
And they made it very clear to them that if you want to stay, that's fine. We love you. We'll have you.
Yeah. And now they're saying Jordan isn't their land, and now they want more of Israel. And, you know, I remember Yasser Arafat a long time ago, who was the ruler of the PLO, and he said, and I remember it like it was yesterday, he said, we will get it, just we'll have to take it inch by inch.
Mm.
You know, and that's the enemy talking.
That's right.
You know, that's the enemy. So here's the problem.
Okay.
They have already given a lot of land away. Okay, they've given areas like Bethlehem, you know, the area where Jesus was born. They've given away areas, parts of Hebron. They've given away Ramallah and many others. And I think somewhere in these notes, I probably have a list of them.
Wasn't Gaza part of
the... And of course, well, that was the last one in 2005. They gave that whole strip of Gaza back.
Yes.
You know, and I just remember pictures of the military going in and pulling the Jewish people out of their homes, and they were crying. It was just a horrible thing.
Yes.
And time and time again, they keep giving away land, and then the enemy comes in and uses it to shoot missiles, okay, or to get closer to the Jewish people. And it's really sad because these are the radicals. These aren't just the normal type Palestinians that they're, you know, living fine together, you know. But here's the problem. Now we've got Saudi King telling Obama he's got to do something right now to get the Palestinian state in the middle of Israel. And so this is on his agenda, and it's number one on his list. And the problem is, Genesis 12:3 says, those who bless Israel, I will bless. I think one of the reasons that America has been blessed is because we've been an ally to Israel and have been helping them.
Yes.
But if we keep going in and taking away more land and more land so that the enemy gets bigger and bigger to push the Jews into the sea, that's a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, those who curse my people and my land, I will curse. And so I'm really nervous about the times that we're living in right now, except for the fact that it says in the Bible that all nations will come against Israel. And I guess that includes America, because if you're taking away their land, to me, that is going against them, and that is a curse.
Well, the last time that we forced that, our administration here, did you say 2005?
Yes.
And then we forced them to break up the settlements in the Gaza.
We did.
It seemed to me there was direct retribution.
Right.
From the hand of God in this country within the week that that happened.
Absolutely. In fact, if you're out there and you want to write this name down, there is a book called,
Eye to Eye.
Eye to Eye. It's by Bill Koenig.
Yes.
Okay. And he actually goes through, and it's a pretty thick book,
mm-hmm.
of every time that we do something to harm Israel's land or the people, a disaster happens in the United States or somewhere that, you know, it's an eye-opener.
Yes,
it's an eye-opener. But right now, our administration has told Netanyahu, the new prime minister, and demanded that Israel stop all settlements, particularly in the West Bank, because that's where the Palestinians want their state, part of it. And this doesn't just mean building new homes. This means no new additions to any home that already exists there. Say your family's getting bigger and you want to add another room,
mm-hmm.
you're not allowed to. That's done. You cannot do that. And again, they're getting ready for the Palestinian state. And it looks like it's going to happen. But the problem is, when you give away Jerusalem as the capital, which really it is of Israel, okay, and you give part of it to the enemy, that's going to be a big problem, and God doesn't like that. And there's so many, many scriptures that talk about it. In fact, in Joel 3:2, it says, I'm going to judge the nations for coming against Israel for dividing up my land and giving it to the worshipers of Allah. Again, Allah is a false god.
Does it really say that, Allah, in Joel?
No, I'm putting that in there. I'm saying, though, they're giving it to the enemy who worships a false god.
That's true.
Okay, and God says, you're dividing up my land that I've given to these particular
people.
Because
it really is God's land.
That's right.
Yes.
So, here's that list of little, well, some of them are little towns, but besides losing the area of Jordan on the, is that the West? No, that's the East Bank. Yeah, the East Bank of the Jordan.
Yes,
they've given away Bethlehem, Jenin, Nablus, Kalkila, Ramallah, Tokarm, parts of Hebron, and 450 smaller villages as part of the Oslo and Y agreements between 93 and 99. And then, of course, in 2005, gave all of Gaza away. And it doesn't work. Giving away the land doesn't bring the peace. Because they just have a little more land, and then they keep going, and they keep going. So why don't most governments see that? I get so upset about it. But I have to calm down because I know this is part of prophecy. But Netanyahu, his campaign promise was that there'd be absolutely no dividing of Jerusalem. Who's going to win, John?
Well, I don't want to call that one.
Yeah,
I
who is
tell
going
you who
to
I,
win?
Who I hope would win, and but... I also know that there are prophecies concerning this very thing happening.
Right.
And it's part of the one world end time scenario.
Yes, it is. It is. Ezekiel 36.
And I really shouldn't call it a scenario, because a scenario technically means something that isn't real. It could happen.
Oh.
This is really
right.
What is going to happen.
It is going to happen.
Yes.
The Bible's been true all along. It's never
yes.
been proven wrong.
Yes.
Okay, so if it says it, it's going to happen. Write down Ezekiel 36, 1 through 8, listeners, and look up these later. But these verses are so for today. It points out how the nations have given his land to the enemy, and he's mad about it. He says he's burning jealous. He also states how Israel is taken up by the lips of talkers. Wow. And they have let themselves be a possession of the nations, and I think of the UN, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
Ezekiel refers to Edom, which I conclude are the descendants of Esau who settled in Mount Seir in Edom, and now they're in Israel. And I believe these are the Palestinians, and probably at one time they were the Philistines of Gaza. Okay? But the main thing is these Palestinians cannot stand up to Hamas, okay, which is the real critical group over there that really wants to get rid of Israel more than even the Palestinians.
They're bullies. They're bullies to their own people.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is that's who we should be talking to, because we're talking to Palestinians and we make deals with them, and then the Hamas comes along and takes over.
Right.
That's what happened in Gaza. They did a coup.
Yes.
Over the Palestinians and won Gaza. Now they're ruling in that area. So we're talking to the wrong people. It's very perplexing, to say the least, by the way.
So why do we keep doing that, though?
Well, because the enemy's involved and people do not have the mind of Christ.
That's right.
They don't know their Bible. They don't understand the whole scenario, who God is, what he's done for us. And
that's
so they're
the that's the spiritual side. To see the spiritual side,
yeah,
you've got to be a student of God's word. But more important than that, you have to be born again. You have to know Jesus as your Savior. You need to have the Holy Spirit operating in your life as you read, as you study, and as you and you will get understanding.
That's
you
right.
will also get smarter.
You will. It will really increase your brain cells, you know?
It will.
But, you know, what's interesting is here we are cursing them again, our government. And God has judged nations before for cursing the descendants of Jacob. I mean, just look what happened in England. After they expelled the Jews, and this was way back in 1290, of course, I wasn't here, but I read the books, and they expelled all the Jews out of England, okay? On the anniversary of the destruction of both temples, by the way. But from that moment on, England's prosperity and world power fell dramatically until they were finally granted the Jews permission again to resettle in 1657. And then England's power rose once again. And the same thing happened in Spain. Also on the night of Ob, which is the destruction of both temples.
Same date.
Yes.
Same
There's date. A thing about dates, and we're going to get into that on one of these shows.
Yes, we're going
too.
To have to. Cause that's
but in 1492, they expelled all the Jews also, actually about 800,000 of them. And from that point, the Spanish Empire's fortune began to decrease significantly.
And they've never really recovered from that one, I don't believe, because they're not a big economic player.
So what's going to happen to America when we're the primary mediator in pushing Israel to give even more land away?
What's going to happen? I think you're seeing it, Sheila.
I'm saying, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yes.
Okay, this is serious stuff, people. We are living in it. I do, of course, pray that more will realize the truth of what a friend Israel has been to us and how much America benefits from its relationship with them. And, of course, that brings us right back to the source.
Mm-hmm.
Why have we benefited and now we might not? And it goes back to Genesis 3. God said long ago, whoever blesses Israel, or more specifically, the descendants of Isaac and Jacob, Genesis 26:3, I will bless. But whoever curses you, I will curse. And I'll tell you what, if someone were taking my land away, I would say that that is a curse. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, we're about running out of time.
Well, you mentioned, I don't know if you would like to do this, but you mentioned about how we have benefited from Israel. Could we say a few things about that, of how our country has, or do we have enough time?
Oh, we got a couple minutes, I think.
Because really, you don't really hear about this in the news, but, you know, things like this, I think you ought to know. Do you want to take one of these? Here's the Middle East has been growing date palms for centuries, and the average tree is about 18 to 20 feet tall and yields about 38 pounds of dates per year. Israeli trees are now yielding 400 pounds per year and are short enough to be harvested from the ground or a short ladder. Doesn't exactly help us. I don't know how that exactly helps us.
Well, it just shows
us
what they're capable of.
How about the cell phone?
There you go, the cell
phone. Was developed in Israel by Israelis working in the Israeli branch of Motorola, which has its largest development center in Israel.
What about voicemail?
Voicemail technology was developed in Israel. Both Microsoft and Cisco built their only research and development facilities outside the U.S. They built them in Israel. That helps us.
Yep.
And
Israel is the only liberal democracy in the Middle East. We need them over there.
Yes, we do.
You know, it's sort of like having a aircraft carrier in the middle of Middle East.
Yep.
We can go there. They will help us. They want to help us. They've done a lot for us.
They're an island of democracy there. And we do use a lot of their products. A lot of their products in our stores, if you look, you'll see that it's made in Israel.
And in medicine, Israeli scientists developed the first fully computerized, no radiation, diagnostic instrumentation for breast cancer. The medical field, what they've done for us is absolutely amazing. And you know what? There's listenless here.
Listenless.
You can
go on and
find
on
them
and
on
and
the
on.
Internet. Just put down.
The thing we said last week was they're sharing when they captured during the 60s, the war, one of the wars, they captured the Soviet MiGs, jet fighters. They shared They shared the technology. Look, and they sent them right over here. So that was invaluable information.
That's right.
Yes.
Wow, I can't believe it's just about over. We only have a minute left. We have to say goodbye.
Oh, I don't want to say goodbye. I want you listeners to say hello.
Go ahead. Say goodbye to everybody.
Okay. Would you like Sheila to speak at your church? She'll be teaching this Thursday.
Yeah, call me up.
Evening, July 11th. Call her. Okay. Well, we're going to say, we got a short time here, so we're going to say Sha'alu, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, those who love her. Jerusalem shall prosper.
Yes, those who love Jerusalem shall prosper. Not a mistake about it. It will happen. And what does that mean? Love the Jewish people. Love the land of Israel. And love the fact that they've got a homeland. You know what?
Yes.
Psalm 122, verse 6 just says it all. Just pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And what does that mean? That means Jesus is coming back, because he's going to be their Messiah, and they're going to accept him.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net.
His views, claims, and or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word.